Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードは今月のアーティスト特集です。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to an artist of the month episode on Japan Top
10. Hello, everyone. This is Andy.
And I'm Connor.
And we are here bringing you an Artist of the Month. This is our Artist of the Month for August 2023. And I know both of us are very excited to talk about today's artist, which is Suyobina Campanella or Wednesday Campanella. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
But before we do, I have a few announcements for some of our listeners. Are you interested in joining our team? We are currently looking for a variety of staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts to join our podcast. You can join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. So if you're very interested in culture, music, and all things related to Japan, you should definitely check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for all those details. Well, like I said up top, we are very excited to bring you this episode. Now, Connor and I were just talking a little bit beforehand about our personal interactions with Suyobina Campanella, and it seems like we have our bases covered. So from what I understand, you are a fan of the kind of current iteration of this band, right?
Yeah, I've only really known like the stuff that's come out in the past, you know, like maybe like 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years. And so I had no idea that there was an older Wednesday Campanella until, like, very recently.
conversely, I am over here being, like, an ancient old man, only knowing about the previous iteration of Suyobina Campanella, which was the main face was an artist by the name of Komuai. Of course, now the main artist, her name is Utaha.
Oh.
So it sounds like at least for our listeners, they'll have a nice, you know, balanced coverage. I was really worried when I was looking through our songs that we have prepared. I'm like, man, it's pretty heavy on the newer stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to have, you know, as much knowledge to bring to the table. But, you know, I did my homework and I listened. And even though I hold true for my older Suyobina Campanella, I really love the new stuff that I listen to. And I think they kind of, I should have like been like, you should keep listening to see if I become a fan, but I'll just say it out top. I'm still a fan.
Okay, good.
Well, just to give all of our listeners a little background, I know we kind of touched on it just there a little bit, but Suyobina Campanella is a 3-member unit that formed, I think, in 2015. With their major debut in 2016 with their first EP, I believe it was either Uma or I think it was Uma was their first EP. Okay. But the previous members were, of course, as I mentioned, Komuai, who was kind of the lead person. So she was just doing all of the singing and vocal performances and stage, like anytime they did a live performance, it was just her. But in the background, she was supported by two individuals. One is Director F, or Director F, who basically is like the management and does all that kind of stuff. And then the producer and songwriter, whose name is Kenmochi Hidefumi. And so the three of those three people came together to form Suyobina Campanella. And initially, from what I know, just like my personal research and like what I've read in interviews and stuff and heard from Komuai doing interviews, is that she initially had no intention of, like, she literally had nothing to do with music. Like, she had a very normal upbringing and whatever. And then one day she was at a house party that Director F was also at. By the way, Director F has a name. It's Fukunaga Yasutomo. That's his real name.
Okay.
But yeah, he was at a party. He's like, why don't you try singing? And that's kind of how the band got started.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, which is wild considering how prolific they went on to become. But yeah, as we mentioned earlier, and then fast forward to 2021, Komuai had announced that she was going to retire. And in the same, it was kind of like one fall swoop. They basically announced that and immediately announced that there was going to be a new singer, this individual named Utaha, who I think was an anime song singer. I don't have all of the info on her in front of me, but I believe that she's pretty prolific for doing anime songs.
I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Like her voice, just the quality of her voice and everything. I can kind of I can definitely see it as well. So that's the quick and dirty of Suyobi no Campanella. But of course, I think over the course of their career thus far, they've had their first debut EP, which was Uma, followed by their first album Superman. Then they made a soundtrack for a movie. I think it's called Nekoa. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. I'm sorry, everybody. But yeah, after that they had Galapagos, and then the last album that they made as the first iteration was called Yakushima Treasure, which actually has a complimentary YouTube documentary.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? Isn't it crazy?
The culture.
Yeah, so Yakushima is it's basically this nature preserve island in Japan. And it also is the arbiter for a lot of cultural history in Japan, native cultural history as well. And so that last album that they made was just basically a collaboration between them and another producer named Oru Taichi. And they basically went to Yakushima and learned all these, I guess, classic Japan, I shouldn't say classic, almost ancient Japanese songs, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that album is just preserving, a small handful of those songs that they learned from, elders at that island. And then Komuai quit. But they went on to do very cool things, because after that, obviously, we got, I think they did another EP? An EP maybe called Neon, and their second album or second EP in the second iteration called Rabbit and Star, which is their most recent. So I think that was a quick and dirty. I'm sorry that there's a lot of gaps and it's not complete, but that's just off the top of my head what I can remember.
No, thanks, Andy. That was a lot. I think that was actually quite comprehensive, given the time that you just said all that in. I think it's so cool. I feel all of the really unique and just cool gritty bands you hear about, they have just really strange coming together stories. And it's just I think certain people have everyone has a connection with a certain select few people. And sometimes it's just they can be musicians even though they're not musically inclined. It's just I don't know. That's just I think they were just it was the right people at the right time, the right place. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it. I know too, initially they were meant to be, I think the initial idea was that it was going to be a 3-member girl group.
Mm.
But then I don't know, through whatever process, they just realized that Komuai had this star power, which I agree. I think, okay, so my backstory with Suyobi no Campanella is kind of deep, because I had just moved to Japan when they were getting big, so 2015, 2016 era when they had formed, and started putting out their first stuff. And I was really into, I still am, but I was really into getting fashion magazines and stuff. And I saw this girl, Komuai, she was featured in I can't even remember what magazine at this point, but somewhere. And I was oh, she's really cool. So I started following her on Twitter, and then realized that she was part of this group. And so I don't want to say that I was kind of one of the earliest fans of Suyobi no Campanella, but
I believe you.
Yeah, but I really love Kowai as a personality, and like I think, like you, I just recommend anyone to go like read her interviews and or listen to her interviews and watch that documentary, because I think she's super interesting and cool. I think she opened the door for a lot of, like, I would say kind of like the post Carrie Pamupamu era of J-pop was kind of like, I would say, initiated by Kowai, if I'm so bold.
It's funny that you mentioned Carrie Pamupamu, because me and Jack, our manager, like went to see a concert of them in, I guess, was it last month? So in May?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, in May in New York City. And it was really cool. Like, I have never like listened to Carrie Pamupamu before. And that's like normally not my kind of music. Uh-huh. But it was a really enjoyable concert. And like, I think if anyone went, they'd like enjoy it just wholeheartedly.
I'm jealous.
It was also my first time seeing like a Japanese artist perform live as well. So like that was also like kind of a big deal. Like, I mean, I love Japanese music so much, but like I've never seen like an artist perform live. So like, even though it was like I wouldn't like go out of my way to like see them, like as was the case this time, it's like I was invited, and like it was a really cool experience. So anyways, it's just a really cool question that you brought that up.
No, I'm glad that like, oh, okay. So now I'm getting big FOMO. So Carrie Pamupamu also came to Chicago, and I was like, I had the opportunity to go, but there's just a variety of other things going on. I was like, you know what? I've seen her before, but now I'm kind of like, I should go. I should have gone, because clearly, when am I going to have the opportunity?
Yeah. And like, I mean, I think they are, that's actually an interesting comparison too, between Wednesday Company and Carrie Pamupamu. Like, I think, I mean, they're actually, I feel like their brand, or like maybe their something about them, like maybe their like aura or their intent or their like drive, mm-hmm. is just very similar. And like their music is like quite different, but also has some like similarities, like especially when it comes to like their like electronic sounds and like, mm-hmm. like female lead singer, all that jazz, you know?
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree. I think that definitely it's like rooted in this, exactly what you're saying, like the same kind of funky, unique kind of maybe outskirts of, you know, Japanese culture, but like bringing it to the mainstream. Cause I feel like Carrie Pamupamu is very rooted in like Harajuku subculture. And then like that kind of got brought to the mainstream when she got popular. And I feel like Kowai did a similar thing. I can't like pinpoint what exact subculture, but like, I think just generally Kowai brought like being a weird girl or like a unique personality with like a strong personality to the fore of like J-pop again, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, no, I think I remember like when I first discovered Wednesday Campanella. Oh yeah, and yeah, for our listeners, like Suyo no Campanella is like same as Wednesday Campanella, so we'll mm-hmm. probably use them interchangeably. So like when I first discovered them, I like it was the new, you know, the newer Wednesday Campanella. So I was just like, they're like, yeah, very strong imaging and like branding and like personality. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't, you know, like I think it was one of those artists that I first discovered like just by seeing them, not by hearing them.
Right.
Because their new album covers are also like very like out there and like kind of show you who they are. And so I was like, oh, I don't know like what to expect. Like, and I listened and like, because I'm also like not really like into like that much like electronic music. And so, but this is like ended up being right down my alley.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So it's a great group, I think. And it's really cool to hear about like the different histories and time periods, and you definitely see that like in their music and also in like their music videos, which we'll talk about a bit too. So it's, yeah, I hope that everyone's gonna like listen to this entire episode and just become like enlightened.
I hope so too. I've been preaching the good word of Suyobi no Campanella. If you go to our website, my profile, I think it's the first artist I list as the artist I like, by the way. So and that was, you know, 6 years ago when I started here. So
wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't changed that since. So maybe I should. Maybe it's time to update, but I would not take them off. They'd still be at the top.
there you have it, guys. We both vouched for them. So I think you used just us.
just us.
Yeah. What do you say? Should we go and introduce our first song?
Yeah, let's get into it. Do you want to do the honors?
Of course, sure, why not? So first up, we have Orihime from 2022. So the song name Orihime comes from the Chinese folktale The Cowherd and the Weaver Girl, celebrated in Japan every year at the Tanabata Festival on July 7th. In the story, a weaver girl named Zinu, Japanese Orihime, and Nuilang, or the Japanese Hikoboshi, are in love, but their families forbid them from being together. Represented by the stars Vega and Altair, respectively, the story goes that the two lovers were banished to opposite sides of the heavenly river, or the Milky Way. But once a year, on the seventh day of the lunar month, a flock of magpies forms a bridge to reunite them.
It's beautiful. I mean...
I want to look into this more.
Tanabata is my favorite Japanese holiday. Don't tell anyone I said that because I feel like I will draw... Because it's not like a huge one. I mean, it is celebrated, but I just feel like I love astrology, so I'm already very in tune. Like, you hooked me when you told me that they're like literally star crossed. They are stars in the sky, star crossed lovers.
Wow, that's smooth. Maybe that's where that phrase came from. Who knows?
I think maybe, probably, right?
Oh, actually, wait, yeah. What else could it be?
Like, I really don't know. Let's just say it. We're going to say, okay, I moved to say that that's where the phrase came from. We're not going to do any research about it.
At least unanimously on this podcast, we'll go with that. Okay.
Perfect.
But keep in mind that maybe outside this podcast, it might not be true, but at least in our own little fantasy world, it's true.
It's true. It's true for us. But yeah, I'm a big Tanabata fan, so this song definitely struck a chord with me. And interestingly enough, this song expresses dissatisfaction with why lovers are forbidden from meeting, saying it's outdated, with specific lyrics indicating, "The Milky Way makes me sick. Heisei's gone, and now we're in the Reiwa." When that line came up, it made me laugh so hard also. But yeah, and for our listeners, if you're not familiar with the Japanese calendar, Heisei was the time period from 1989, January 8th, 1989, to April 30th, 2019. And Reiwa started May 1st, 2019, and is still going on. So those are indicating the different eras of emperor. So obviously emperor, the former emperor, retired, relinquished his position, and now his son ushered in Reiwa, basically. But another lyric is, "The Gyaru code trumps the laws of heaven," which honestly, I live by that every day. I'm repping the Gyaru, so that's a fashion subculture called Gyaru or Gal, and it can refer to, I mean, it in general refers to just like a modern day woman with, you know, more makeup, dyed hair, flashy outfits, but like in my heart of hearts, it's a specific time of the early 2000s when like it was like the loose socks trend, like the schoolgirl outfit with loose socks, like chunky shoes, you know, your flip phone with like a million charms on it, super done up nails and makeup. Yeah, like that's my gyaru.
Wow. No, that makes sense. And that's really, the lyrics are just like 10 out of 10. And like, this definitely is like, there's no way that this is like true. And like, I'm just probably poking fun at this, but like the lyrics, like, Heisei's gone and now we're in Reiwa, like that's like, it seems like it could be like a diss at like the old Wednesday Campanella. Like, this is the new era. Like, yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I felt. I'm like, okay, well, Heisei's gone, but also it stays alive with the people who love it.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we just.
No, but I definitely read into that too. I was like, maybe that's just a subtle little, yeah, exactly, not a dig, just like a, you know what, it's, we're in a new that was a shout out at me specifically, be like, you know what, you need to still represent and show up for Wednesday Campanella because you say you love them all the time. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter my opinion, because we're here to present unbiased view of Suyobi no Campanella, and to best do that, I think we need some more music. So let's get into one of their mega hits. This is Edison from 2022.
Yeah,
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That, again, was Edison from 2022. The themes, lyrics, and everything was, of course, inspired by Thomas Edison. And Edison describes inventing new songs through computer software, which Siobhan Campanella is perfect at.
That's really cool. And I'll also just a quick side note. I apologize to my listeners if my mic is picking up some external sounds. I am currently in an apartment in Nepal, and so there are pretty thin walls, and yeah, but if you can't hear it, then just ignore I said this, but it should be okay. It should be okay, okay? But I apologize if this inconveniences anyone. But also, okay, back to Edison. I am seeing this band in a whole new light now because I just see their names. I just don't have a good, like, imagination, but, like, I was like, Edison, like, I wonder what that means, but, like, it's just a name. Like, now, I feel like all of this stuff is, like you said, like, historically tied or, like, culturally tied. And so just, like, I should just, like, start, like, looking for things like that. But that's really cool. Edison is Wednesday Campanella's most popular song. And I probably would second that. Like, Andy, I know maybe you're salty. Like, no, it's not. Like, there's, you know. But this is definitely my favorite. Or I guess I said that about Maneki Neko, too. But, like, this is also my favorite song from them. It's amassed over 49 million views on YouTube, and so at least there, it's, you know, gotten a lot of attention.
I am not salty because the numbers just simply prove me wrong on this one. This is, like, I think by and far, like, their most popular song to date, or at least, I'm not sure if they've had, you know, more popularity with some of the songs that we might introduce in a few moments here, but this one is, yeah, by and large, like, mega hit status.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So, in an interview with Tokion magazine, composer Kenmochi actually acknowledged that it's important to produce addictive songs that can be enjoyed in 15 to 30 second snippets on TikTok or YouTube shorts to reach the widest following, in a statement that just makes me depressed.
Me too.
Oh, God. It's like, even if it's true, I don't want to hear it. I don't want people to, like, even if that's just the current, you know, world state we live in, I hate that for all of us.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know, like, everyone, you know, I'm sure some of us just hold different views, and everyone has the right to hold their own view, of course. But, I mean, there's lots of studies out there that, like, are just showing the impacts and the negative impacts of like, these, like, shorts and, like, TikToks on, like, our attention span and just, like, the chemistry of our brain. But yeah, and also just, like, what it, like, does with, like, music and, like, artists. It's just, like, it, like, kind of limits, like it's like you have to find a way to, like, be creative in, like, 15 to 30 seconds, you know. And it's like, if not, mm-hmm. then it's like you won't be successful. And it's like, it, the beautiful thing with, like, music and songs is that it's a whole entire, like, experience. Like, it takes, like, 3 minutes to sometimes even, like, 15 minutes. Like, there are 15 minute, like, songs out there, like, and even longer. I'm even, like, there's really no bounds. So, just anyways, that's my opinion. And and so, I mean, I'm not a big fan of TikTok, but that's just me personally. And just, you can ignore I said anything, okay? Anyways.
No, it's okay. No, like you said, everyone's entitled to the opinion. I think it's just sad to see the hand of the market, you know, manipulate artists into feeling like they have to, you know, take this path and in order to find success and reach audience. If it wasn't this, it'd be something else. So I suppose
that's true.
I suppose we should just be grateful that we're getting excellent music. At least it's an excellent addictive 15 seconds of Edison.
That's true. You know, let's stay on the positive side of things. Yeah. But the music video was the most popular video on TikTok for 5 consecutive weeks, which is, I don't know if you guys know, but that's actually, like, really hard to do. Like, TikTok, like, the trends, like, move really fast, at least from, like, what I know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if it's on there for 5 weeks, like, that's really cool. But this was after, you know, so it was popular for 5 weeks, five consecutive weeks after its release, and inspired thousands of videos of fans mimicking Utaha's dance. And so again, if you haven't seen it on TikTok, then maybe watch the music video and you can see what the dance is all about.
Yes, and this song actually won the TikTok Japan Music Award Prize in December 2022. And I was just quickly looking through some of my information. I feel like this video also won an award. I know that they've won a lot of, you know, like, not MTV Music Video Awards, but like the equivalent for a lot of their songs. I mean, even with Komu Ai, they've won awards like that. But I want to say this one, well, it's not, I don't have it immediately in front of me, but I think this one also won some kind of video award that way, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Just kind of proving the point that, you know, Wednesday Pumpanella remains a powerhouse of visual and audio, you know, combinations.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, without getting too far along at the end of our Wednesday Campanella journey, we do have a few more announcements for some of our listeners. So if you're interested in advertising on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts out there. You can reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. So if that sounds appealing to you, you can find the full details at jtop10.jp. And if you want to hear up to 3 times the amount of songs on this episode, including all of my hot takes about Wednesday Campanella and Connor's hot takes about Wednesday Campanella, please join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month. And of course, you can help support our podcast and get more music, more insights, as well as, you know, just a lot more content and, you know, interaction with content you love. So if that's appealing to you, again, check out jtop10.jp/club. All right, Connor, do you want to do the honors and bring us into the last two, the final two of our countdown?
Yes, so these two I'm a little less familiar with, actually. I didn't listen to them until, I guess, I got to, you know, I started doing research for this podcast episode. But they are certainly not the least. They are very cool music videos and ideas, and again, like, more insights on culture and just lots of cool stuff. So without further ado, we'll play the second to last piece called Little Red Riding Hood from 2023.
ちょっと待って、これやってんな。完全にやっちゃってんな。どっからどう見たってこれバーちゃんじゃなくて狼じゃん。バレてんぞ、バレてんぞ。これ完全にバレてんぞ。1ミリも似てねえかんな。さすがにこれ騙そうってのは調子良すぎないが大丈夫か。あ、これドッキリか。そっちのパターンか。そりゃそうだよな。オーケーオーケー。じゃあカメラは花瓶のあたりか本能しろか。今すぐ終わらしてもいいけど、逆に最後まで見たい気もすんな。狼さんだって頑張ってんだから暇だし付き合ってやるか。 売ってるパーティーグッズ何でもいいけど大事なのはまず気持ちだよねって話あるの確かにそうだなその努力は認めてあげようリスクも背負ってる腹も減っててこれっきゃないって思ったんだろうなそらしゃあなしかでもこれじゃさすがに通用しないよね業界厳しいからさ子供の私も二度見したね動揺の中で動揺したね腹いっぱい食ってもいいけどその分働かなきゃ詐欺だよな今日は反省して次頑張ろうな多分今日が最後だけどな
Little Red Riding Hood, or Akatsukin, is from Wednesday Campanella's new EP, Rabbit Star, with a cool little emoji afterwards, released on April 26th.
Oh, dang, that was very recent. I truly am behind the times for Suyobi no Campanella.
Me too.
Right? Now the lyrics are from the perspective of Little Red Riding Hood, who is not surprised by the wolf in her grandmother's clothes, but simply just disappointed and annoyed at the lackluster costume.
And unlike previous music videos, Little Red Riding Hood is almost fully animated, and the video is in the style of Studio Trigger, with thick lines and neon colors, and surprising twists on grandma. I noticed this when I watched the video. I was like, oh, like, wait a second. Like, this is not, you know, what we usually see. And I think it's really cool. I love, like, especially Japanese animation. I just think it's really cool and unique. And so it was a really pleasant surprise. But yeah, and the song too, I like the song a lot. And I think that, again, like, following like the kind of same energy and intent of Wednesday Campanella.
Yeah, I liked the video quite a bit. I'm a big Studio Trigger fan, and I think like all of their animation is so beautiful. I should say, and even when it's like, I know Studio Trigger did not do this, so, but something memetic of it, emblematic of it, is still also very great. But I also loved, like, yeah, there's kind of a different interplay of different media, because I know there's, you know, live video of Utaha, as well as like, you know, like more CG animation in this as well. Mm-hmm. This video, unfortunately, I do not remember the song is not as, you know, catchy as some of the other ones, so it did not stick right in my mind immediately. But the video reminded me so heavily of like the earlier iteration of Suyobi no Campanella, because they had a animated video for their song Momotaro.
Ooh.
Which also, that one was one style, but then they had another video called Diablo. That incorporated all these different kinds of like mixed media like they did in this video, and I thought that was cool. Maybe it's not a nod to that. I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure it's just like they wanted to have all these cool visuals in a video, but in my heart it's a nod to their past, you know, using all these different like CG and video game references and like things like that to make a cool visual for their song.
Yeah, and it like maybe also like, I mean, I'm not really sure on the reason like why, you know, artists choose to do like animated music videos. Like maybe it could also be like a, like they don't have time, because it's like with a music video, a lot of times it's like, you know, the artist has to be there, and like it takes like lots of weeks of planning, and then like it probably several days of shooting, and it's just like a lot. And so maybe it's like just an animated version. You can just kind of be somewhere else and like while someone else is working on it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I will always take an animated music video. I will never complain about getting to see beautiful animation.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, I don't know, Annie, would you like to, I guess, introduce our final song for all of our listeners? I know you're kind of one of the older fan, the first real fan of Wednesday Campanella. So maybe you should go and introduce some of their newer piece, you know?
Yes. As the first official, you heard it here first, I was the first fan of Wednesday Campanella. I would love to introduce their most recent hit, or hit to be, I should say, Kongo Nikishi Statues from 2023. That again was Kongo Rikishi Statues, or Kongo Rikishi Shizo, which was released on Wednesday Campanella's latest EP, Rabbit Star, alongside, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, which we just listened to as well.
And Kongo Rikishi, also known as Nio, are two guardians to Buddha, commonly found at the entrance to Buddhist temples. The statue with its mouth open is known as Agyo, and the one with its mouth closed is known as Ungyo. They have threatening faces and hold Vajra weapons to discourage evildoers. One of the most famous pairs of these statues can be found at the UNESCO World Heritage Site, Todaiji Temple in Nara, where they were built in the 13th century out of wood by sculptors Unke and Kaike. And so, like I said earlier, like I study religion, but also I focus on Buddhist philosophy. And certainly, like, Buddhism in Japan is quite unique and different from other places. Like, I've traveled to India, and I'm currently in Nepal, which are, you know, like, Buddha was born in Nepal, for example. So it's, I'm in, like, a very, you know, I'm in the originating, you know, place of Buddhism, I guess I would say. Well, a lot of people, everyone would say. But there definitely, of course, there's always scholars that, like, disagree over where Buddha was born and, like, where he, you know, but it's, but yeah, no, and so I haven't heard of Aigyo or Ungyo, but so maybe they could be, maybe that's just the Japanese terms for them, and, but I'm not sure if those are just, like, so unique to, like, maybe Japanese and, like, possibly Chinese temples, but...
I can say that, yeah, I used to have to do a lot of, like, tours and translation for temples and stuff when I was living in Japan. And yeah, Aigyo and Ungyo, I think, I know that they are specific to, they specifically are at all, you know, Japanese temples pretty much. They're right at the gate to, like, ward off, yeah, evil spirits and things like that. And the reason why one has its mouth open and one has its mouth closed is to represent, like, the beginning and the end of the phonetic Japanese alphabet. So A is, like, the very first. It's like A, I, U, E, O, Kaki, Kuke, Ko. And then it goes all the way down to N, which is the last one. So it's kind of like alpha and omega, or A and Z, whatever comparisons you want to say. And it kind of also has another representation of, like, encompass, like, once you enter the temple, it's like encompassing the entirety of, you know, experience and life and all that good stuff.
Wow, no, thanks for the knowledge. Yeah, so I guess it is more of a unique thing to Japan. That's really cool. And so in the music video, like, despite the, you know, the religious, spiritual, and, like, despite the contents of the music, there is quite a bit of twerking in the music video.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it refers to these Nara statues as being a perfect pair that vibes with each other well. So I don't, you can make with that what you will, but yeah, it's certainly, it's like, when I watched this music video, I was so surprised, because I was like, this is, like, it's pretty, like, you know, normally Japanese videos aren't very explicit, so, or, like, you know, revealing, or I don't know what category you want to put twerking into. But I was just so surprised. Like, my mouth was open. I was like, what am I watching? Like, is this a Japanese music video? Like,
there's a whole world of Japanese hip hop out there that I think you might be shocked to find what you see portrayed in music videos. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm not kidding. That is true.
Maybe, but... I will do some research, but I'm kind of scared now.
No. That was, I came in really hot with that for no reason. I don't know why. Yes, it's not that shocking. It's just very, you know, on standard with, you know, hip hop and rap across, you know, visuals and aesthetics across the world. Yeah. But that said, again, I think this is a very perfect song to end on, because it kind of hits all of the points of what I love about Suyobi no Campanella, even though my girl Komura is not there right now, not there anymore.
No.
I mean, like, the music video is delivering very cool, interesting, insane visuals. The song is lyrically just keeps your attention the entire time and goes, like, in these wacky places that you don't really anticipate, but while also referencing history and drawing, you know, new conclusions out of that interplay. And then, you know, musically, it's just drawing off of a lot of electronic basses that I like outside of Wednesday no Campanella, Suyobi no Campanella. And so I think it's, like, a very perfect way to end, because I think it kind of brings us full circle back to what we love, at least what I love about Wednesday Campanella. And I hope now our listeners have come to appreciate as well.
Yeah, I second everything Andy said, and I'm very confident that we have turned the masses to the dark side.
Yes.
And I think that maybe Wednesday Campanella is gonna get maybe a few hundred, a few thousand more followers. So that's great. And yeah, I think that what makes them stand out is their music videos and their confidence and just comfortability in being themselves and being okay with like just being like out there and not normal or whatever normal even is. Like, yeah, I think they're new and old. It's just, they're a really great band. Like it's not like they started off kind of like rough or like, you know, their stuff at first wasn't too great. Like, I think they're overall a very solid band at every single point in their career. So yeah, it was a pleasure introducing this group, or even just like, maybe a lot of you guys already knew about them, but just, you know, shedding some more light on them. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Definitely. I did as well. Thank you, Connor, for bearing with me, because I feel like I went on so many wild tangents, but I am deeply passionate about them. So thank you for bearing with me, listeners. Thank you for bearing with me. My last shout out is just to say, you should definitely listen to Melos. It's probably by and far my absolute favorite Suyobino Campanella song, and the video is really great too.
Okay, I will too. I'm a listener too now. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, on that note, for you and for our listeners, you can enjoy Haru, who is going to join you in a little less than 2 weeks from now to bring you the biggest top 10 hits from Japan for July in the July top 10 countdown. So look forward to that. Listen to Suyobino Campanella until that point and just get those charts up so that they are right at the top of the charts, so they are on the July top 10 countdown next time.
Yes, please.
Anyways, I hope you all enjoyed. Thank you for joining both of us on this journey, and enjoy the onslaught of summer.
Yeah. See you guys later. Thanks.
Johnny.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.